Someone shout hallelujah. Amen. Father, we are thankful for the wonderful opportunity that we have to be in your presence once again. Not that we have ever left your presence, because your word is true. You are everywhere present. So there's no way to leave your presence at any time. But being in your presence, because at this very moment we are focused on that reality. The reality, O God, that you are here. And Lord, O God, that you see us, that you have given us access into your presence, that you're doing a mighty work in us and through us. And Lord, O God, your presence is making it possible for us to know true freedom, for where your spirit is, there is freedom, there is liberty. Because we are in your presence, oh God, every activity of darkness, everything that is contrary to our well-being is being eradicated. For Lord, oh God, you see no evil in us and will not abide with any evil trying to attach itself to us. So, Father, this day we are thankful that we are ignited with the life, your fire, consumes away every bondage and every lie, every deception, every confusion, every work of darkness. And we are established in righteousness and in truth. For we are in your presence, in your secret place. Blessed Father, be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to our time of study again tonight. We are studying through the book of Proverbs, and tonight we will be looking closer at the third chapter, Proverbs chapter 3. We're not rushing it, because we want to milk as much as we can from the Word so that our lives are forever changed supernaturally by God's grace. Amen? Praise God. We're looking at Proverbs. We're going to take it up from verse 18. We're talking about the role of wisdom. Word of God says in the 13th verse, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And then it says that there is profiting in it. It says for the merchandise of it, which means we can sell wisdom. And this is one of the ways that God has given to us to increase ourselves spiritually, financially. It is the selling of wisdom. It says there, it says for the merchandise of it. When you merchandise something, you are trading something. And it says the merchandising of wisdom, this is God's premium way of us tapping into wealth. And you'll see that in the life of Solomon, when God asked Solomon what he wanted, Solomon said, give me wisdom and understanding. And God says, since you've not asked for long life and all of this, I'm not just going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you wealth. Nobody's going to be as wise or as wealthy as you are. So we receive by God's grace this wisdom of God. He says we've got to find it. James 1:5 says, if we lack it, we shall ask, and God will give it to us liberally and will not upbraid us. He will not chastise us for asking for that. So part of our finding of wisdom is is located in our ability to understand that we don't have it and we need it, and we trust God to give it to us. When God gives to us wisdom, wealth comes with it. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's say together, I have the wisdom of God, and because of it, I am wealthy. Praise God. Now, the Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. Amen? Now, it says here, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. And merchandising silver means you trade in that. This is better than that. And the gain that you get from it, from trading wisdom, is better and greater than that of fine gold. Wow. Then it says she's more precious than rubies. She's more precious than rubies. And rubies here representing stones of great price. It says wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. No matter what you desire, none of it compares to wisdom. So wisdom tops anything else that you'll ever desire. It tops, I desire to have a jet plane. I desire to have a 100-foot yacht. I desire, you know, to have, you know, the biggest house, 5,000, 20,000 square foot house. I desire this. I desire to have children. God says, wisdom tops anything that you're going to desire. This is the premium that God puts on wisdom. And we're going to find out in just a moment why it is so amazingly important. And in our world today, we see that much wisdom is not being used. It's foolishness everywhere. Everywhere you look, you see the activity of people that are supposed to be wise, not acting wisely. Lying through life. Not appreciating life. I was listening to the news the other day. Well, that's not here in this country, but down south. They have their immigration issues, and they have all these illegal immigrants crossing the border. And in the state of New York, they decide that they're going to be they put in these immigrants in all kinds of hotels and then kicking out their own citizens, throwing them out, veterans that went to war, throwing them out, and they are running out of space. So what do they decide to do? They're going to put these immigrants that they've not vetted into their schools with their little children, to stay in the gym. You've not vetted these people. You're going to put them in the gym, you know, and they're going to shower and do all of that. It's great you want to take care of all these immigrants, but you're going to expose your children? That's not smart. That's not wisdom. So parents, you know, finally had enough of it and started protesting, so they now decide, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. Well, you should have known not to do that. You're the government, you're leaders, you know, where's the wisdom? Now, that's a very obvious situation. People not applying their noodles to think through things. Just decide on whatever craziness they want to do. And, well, but you know what? Here we've legalized marijuana, and we didn't think through. Oh, people that are into all these drugs, they may end up with schizophrenia. They're going to start, you know, having all these kind of issues with them. And they didn't think through that. Just legalize it because we want to make some money. And people are celebrating, oh yeah, we can smoke whatever I want to smoke and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Now our psych wards are going to be full of people that they cannot control. Oh, it's for medicinal purposes. Yes, right. The craziness. No wisdom because they trade in wisdom away for temporary gain. And people are dulled in their thinking. And of course, when people are dulled in their thinking and they can't think, then governments can do whatever it is they want to do. And meanwhile, we're celebrating it because we're not wise. Wait a minute, why do you want me to take drugs? Why are you legalizing it? So I don't think anymore because I'm all smoked up? I don't have the ability to say, oh, wait a minute, why are you guys doing that? Why is this happening in my community? You can't speak up because your brain is all messed up. It is, sometimes, people think, just preach Jesus, don't talk anything about politics and whatever else. The fact is, we live in politics. We live in this world and somebody is running the government. And if we don't have wise people who prize wisdom, then our whole society falls apart. If we don't prize wisdom, then our families fall apart. Then our children don't have a chance. And when you look at society today, you see people not acting wisely. It's all crazy, foolishness operating. Now, he says, we've got to prize it more than rubies and desire it more than anything else because it's going to grant to us length of days in her right hand and riches and honor in her left hand. Her ways of pleasantness. Wisdom brings pleasantness to society. People are happy. People are refreshed. People are renewed. When we act wisely, we can be discerning and make right decisions for our families, right decisions for our communities, right decisions for in the seat of government and business. Because we're making right decisions. We're thoughtful. We're thinking through stuff. We want this. We want that. The economy of the land falls apart when wise decisions are not being made. The inflations that we're going through today in our society, wrong decisions. People are not thinking. You know, here we are. And everybody wants electrical cars, electric vehicles, EVs. They want to get rid of fossil fuel completely. And you've not built the infrastructure for electrical cars, but you want to shut everything down. That's a wisdom. That just says something, he is thinking of something. Now, think about it for a quick moment. Why would anyone want to get rid of your regular vehicles, give you EVs, don't have the infrastructure for it, you have batteries, you know, that make the vehicle so heavy, and all this is being gotten from lithium and cobalt and whatever else, and you are pulling all of those resources out. You think about, you know, we want to take care of human beings and so on and so forth, but you're using little kids, but you have assignment over on this side, no child labor, but you close your eyes, you do child labor, you get all these batteries. The batteries last for a few years, and you have to dump them. And it's poisonous to the world. But you want to get rid of fuel, of fossil fuels and whatever else. I know you didn't come here for all this economic stuff tonight, but think for a moment. Why would anyone want to do that? The Bible talks about a different kind of wisdom that is not of God. It is earthly. Guess what? Not everybody is going to be able to buy those EVs. You don't have gas, fuel. So what's going to happen? Everybody has to ride the bus. Now you are going to be huddled in one direction. Everybody knows exactly where you're going to be at all times because you can't move freely and so on and so forth. And what is the setup? It is a setup of the one world government to keep people in bondage. That is not the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom that is trying to entrap people. The wisdom of God frees people, brings pleasantness. It's a pathway to pleasantness, not to damage. And when we are wise, we can think ahead and see what's happening and work to find suitable solutions to what we need to do. Everybody doesn't have to be put in bondage. Amen? Then it says, and all her parts are peace. The wisdom of God. All its parts, it's peace. What is going to happen to that kind of a world? It's not going to be of peace. It's going to be filled with violence. It's going to be filled with thievery. We want to protect society. So, we don't want our jails full. That's great. That's all perfect. So, you know, you can go and steal every day. As long as you steal under $1,000, you will not be prosecuted. And so people break into all kinds of stores, grab as much as they can, as long as it's under $1,000. And tomorrow you do the same thing, and you expect businesses to prosper, right? Is that the wisdom of God? No. This is the foolishness of the world that they call wisdom. That's not the wisdom we want. Because that kind of wisdom only generates violence and strife and poverty and shame and confusion. And the wisdom that we need is the wisdom of God that makes it possible for us to live victoriously, live life free, not in bondage, have joy, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. For this wisdom, the Bible says, she is a tree of life. The wisdom of God is a tree of life. It continues to produce the fruit of life. not death, life. And if we're dying emotionally, dying physically, dying spiritually, it's because we don't have the wisdom of God. We're not operating in the wisdom of God. We're attaching ourselves to that which is not of God. And James, the third chapter, tells us that there is that kind of wisdom that is not of God. It is first carnal. It disrupts the lives of people. It brings pain and defeat. The key thing that we all need is wisdom. When you're facing a situation, things are difficult, you need wisdom. Because wisdom makes it possible for you to be discerning. Be able to discern, separate things from things. Wisdom causes you to almost be prophetic rather than being pathetic. Prophetic in the sense that wisdom makes you see implications. If I do this, this is what's going to happen, and this might happen, and you see the domino effect of every action that is taken when you're wise. If I do this, these are the possible pathways from this action, which seems to be so benign and harmless. But if I look at it closely, oh, it's going to create all kinds of problems. And so many lives are going to be affected. And it's going to bring not pleasantness, but pain. Wisdom is a tree of life. It is the pronoun here is you know, gives it a female mind, because women are called to multiply. They take a seed and they multiply it. And the idea of wisdom being a tree of life is that it continues to increase and multiply and impact lives. It's a tree of life to them that lay hold. They lay hold on it. They lay hold. They grab it. You get it? You grab it. And then it says, happy is everyone that retaineth her. You retain it. You retain wisdom. Because you're a thinking man. You're a thinking woman. You have a mind. And you take a hold of it and you don't let go of it. I take hold of wisdom and I will not let go. I'm always going to have this. Because when you are wise, you can reproduce. It's a tree of life. You can take everything from a wise man and he will bounce back up. Because a wise man sees what the foolish man doesn't see. He sees things and he sees the possibilities. That's why we must ask God for wisdom. God, I cannot afford to be foolish. I must be wise. And God says he will give that wisdom to whoever will ask. You don't have to go looking for it when you found him who distributes it. It's a tree of life. Now, watch this. The Bible tells us about the tree of life. And I don't know if I'm going to go much past verse 18 today. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us." This is when they ate of the fruit. "And to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." The tree of life, when you eat of that fruit, it will cause you to live forever. So the Bible is basically saying to us, wisdom will cause you to live forever. Wisdom will cause you and I to live forever. Wisdom will cause us to have a legacy that continues on. Wisdom. We need it. The Word of God goes on that because of this, because of the fact that it becomes that tree of life, that when you eat of it, you'll live forever, God drove the first man and woman out of the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says, "And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So nobody goes there, because if you eat of that fruit, you get to live forever with God. It's a tree of life. Interesting. The tree of life, in Proverbs 3:18, as we just read, she said, tree of life to them, to them, to them, to them, to them that lay hold upon her. It's not a tree of life to anybody else, but to them that take a hold of her. Grab it, stay steadfast with it. He says, it will be a tree of life for you. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Everyone that retains her will be happy. So happiness is connected to wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse 12, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes you sick, but when your hope cometh, it becomes a tree of life. What is the Word of God trying to say? It's saying to us that wisdom gives you the manifestation of that which you are hoping for. What are we hoping for? Wisdom will cause that hope to arrive. What are we hoping for? The Bible tells us, it says to us in the book of Revelation, Revelation 22 and verse 2, talking about, actually, let me look at 2:7 first. It says, he that hath an ear, God is speaking to his church. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Overcomers, eat of the tree of life. And where is this tree of life? It is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree of life. It is in the midst. This is what God drove the people away from, Adam and Eve from. And God says, you have wisdom, the wisdom to obey my words and do it. He says, I'm going to invite you to come in and enjoy the tree of life. Eat of it. So that you keep on living. In Revelation 22 and verse 2, we read, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. On either side of the river, there's this tree of life which bear 12 manner of fruits. Watch that. And yielded her fruit every month. 12 different kinds of fruit. And every month, there's a different fruit manifested. That is the highest level of speedification, I tell you. And beyond, you know, wow, every month you have a different fruit. This is God saying, I will be the God of miracles in your life. He says, and yielded our fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. God causes us to eat of this fruit. And he says, it's on both sides of the river. Now, those both sides of the river represents both sides in paradise, but represents both sides in terms of this lifetime and the life to come. God is saying, you know, what I drove Adam and Eve from experiencing, I will invite you to come if you embrace wisdom. If you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom, and you are going to be fruitful every month. Every month there will be a testimony of something new in your life. I want to cry out for this wisdom of God, don't you? Not the wisdom of this world. Now, watch this. It says in verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. There shall be no more curse. What? But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Who are his servants? He that winneth souls. Praise the Lord. He that winneth souls, the word of God says, is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Those are the servants of God, people that win souls. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous, the fruit of the righteous, the fruitfulness of the righteous is a tree of life. When I'm a soul winner, I become a vehicle through which this tree of life is being not just established, but promoted this fruitfulness. He says, and he that winneth souls, anyone that's winning souls, is wise. It's wise. Wow. Now let us look at verse 19. For Proverbs 3 and verse 19. This wisdom that God is talking about says in Proverbs 3 and 19, the Lord by wisdom. The Lord, Jehovah, the Lord, the self-existent God, by wisdom had founded the earth, the foundation of the earth. God laid down by wisdom. Now that means then that if that's how God founded the earth, that must be the way I must found of, you know, the foundation that I must establish for my life, for my family, for the church, for everything that I do, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. By wisdom, God founded the earth. And by understanding had he established the heavens. He established the heavens by understanding. But the earth he founded by wisdom. That's powerful. God uses wisdom to lay the foundations of the earth. The pillars of the earth are established by the wisdom of God. And if we are going to operate on those foundational principles, we must have wisdom. And God has not left us to our own devices. He says, if you don't have it, ask. I will give it to you. If you don't have it, ask me, I'll give it to you. And I'm not going to chastise you. I'm not going to, you know, shame you for asking. So why do I ask for wisdom? Because I understand I don't have it. Why do I understand I don't have it? Because I've humbled myself and recognized that I don't match up. And if I need to do anything, I need to ask God for his wisdom. Lack of wisdom will cause me to make mistakes, expensive mistakes. Mistakes that will cost me, cost my family, cost the church, cost society unnecessary pain. Every leader must ask God for wisdom. Every father, every mother must ask God for wisdom. And I tell you what, in the confused world that we are living in today, child of God, we need wisdom. Our children need wisdom. Because it makes no sense, absolutely no sense, what's happening in our world today. And the worst thing about it all is that the people that are supposed to be wise, do not see their foolishness. Whether it's in sports, you know, how do you have men that are biologically men saying that they are women, but they have the chromosomes of a man, competing with women, and you are the so-called smart guys? You don't even say, you know what, if you say that you are transgender, whatever it is that you are, okay, we cannot have you competing with women. Let's have all the transgenders all competing together. You have your own lane. You compete with yourselves. We'll give you your trophies, gold, your gold, silver, and bronze. But compete with yourselves. Why do you want to cross over and compete with women? No, we want to be in the locker rooms with the women, exposing yourself. And you're so smart. And you say, it's okay, it's okay. So, you know what? Let one person get raped first. And they don't just sue the guy who raped the person. They sue that government that gave permission for that. Maybe somebody's good sense will come back and say, wait a minute. I wonder if these people have their own children. Do they have daughters? It's the craziness of the world. Just foolishness all over, all over. Why? Because the devil is operating in their minds. The devil is a liar. Our children need to have the wisdom of God. And it is the word of God that will bring that wisdom to them. Amen? Because I don't know how our children will survive all this foolishness. But the enemy is very strategic. This so-called foolishness that you're operating in, it's a different kind of wisdom. So let me just wrap up today by just looking at James, the third chapter, and verse 13. James 3 is a passage of scripture that talks about the tongue. And says in verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So there's meekness connected to wisdom. It says, but if you have bitter, watch this, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And notice what the Bible calls this devilish, sensual, earthly wisdom. It says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Strife. Is that what is filling our streets? Strife everywhere. When people are, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they are, you know, in the glass business, and they said, you know what? During the pandemic, we did a lot of business. I said, yeah, I can see that. restaurants all closed and different places closed down, you know, it's an easy target. You know, people just break in and steal whatever it is they want to steal. I said, I can see that. He said, no, you're not getting it. I said, what am I not getting? He said, people were breaking into a whole restaurant, and all they stole, after breaking all the glass and everything, all they stole was the remote control. The remote control. I said, what? Are you serious? He said, they didn't. The TV is there. They didn't steal the TV. They have all kinds of things. They have dishes, all kinds of things that they could steal. All they stole was a remote control. What on earth? That's strife. It is born out of a lack of wisdom, and the devil has penetrated our society with a lack of wisdom. Strife. Bitterness. People just acting crazy, attacking each other. Strife, bitterness, envy. Want what the other person has. But you're not willing to work for it. So, rate of crime, murder rates, confusion everywhere. And the Bible says it's wisdom. It's a different kind of wisdom. But that's not the wisdom God is asking us to have. He says, however, but the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom of God, it is first pure. It is pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle. It is easy to be entreated. You can talk with that kind of wisdom. You have a problem, we can talk about it. We can talk about it and find a solution, a peaceable solution. It is full of mercy. Justice is tempered with mercy. So we extend mercy to people. It has good fruits, the wisdom of God. Good fruits attached without partiality. Hallelujah. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. And what is hypocrisy? It is the reducing of truth to a livable lie. Like, okay, you can steal up to $1,000. You know, and it's just going. It's not going. We're not. You're not going to go to jail for that. It's just a felony, and just a misdemeanor rather. And you know, you can go home. You know, the cops are not going to. You know, so tomorrow you go steal again, and then the next day, you steal again, and you know, as long as it's on there. Wow, what is that? That's hypocrisy. Burying your head under the sun and saying that's not what's happening. You know, hypocrisy. Your border has been invaded and you call it a different thing. Hypocrisy. Somebody breaks into your house, steals whatever it is they want to steal, and you say, well, no problem. It's okay. Really? What kind of society is that? What kind of society is that? It's not a society that's been run by wisdom. And God says, you need wisdom. And watch what it says here. And the fruit of righteousness is sown. Oh, and the fruit of righteousness. The context is what we're talking about, wisdom. And now the word of God says, and the fruit of righteousness, or the fruit of the tree of life. is sown in peace of them that make peace. People that bring peace to each other. Well, I hope that we all understand that we need wisdom. If we're going to live in this society, we need wisdom. It is sown in peace, because peace is what is going to fight for you. Peace. Peace is that military force of God that guards your heart and your mind. Because if peace is not operational there, are we ever going to live in a world of worry, of fear? We'll just mesmerize by all the foolishness that's going on in the world. A people that do not have wisdom are people that are godless. They don't believe in God. The Bible says, it is the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. And because he thinks there is no God, he thinks he can do whatever it is that he wants to do, and nobody knows. Nobody sees. It's a fool that is busy pretending through life. Fight with your spouse at home, and you come in public and you say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, as if nothing is wrong. But you break each other's head, because nobody is there. Nobody sees. So I can call you whatever names I want to call you. That's foolishness. You saying God is not here because nobody else is here. That's foolishness. If you knew that the words that you speak are going to come back to you, wisdom says, I'm not going to eat the fruit of speaking death out of my mouth. I'm going to speak peace. I'm going to flee from that evil. I'm going to embrace righteousness. I'm going to embrace truth. That's wisdom. Foolishness says, you know what? Nobody sees me here. I can fool around. I can commit adultery. I can fornicate. I can open up pornography and start looking at crazy pictures. That's foolishness, because nobody else is there. You now just said, he, her, whoever, that's God, because if they see me doing this bad stuff, they're going to say something. But because nobody's here, nobody sees. Oh, that's foolishness. Because you just said that people are greater than God. Do you get the point? Nobody sees me. So I will not address my addiction. You know, I'm going to smoke up, chew all kinds of gum and sprays and whatever else, so nobody knows. Are you kidding yourself? That's not wisdom, that's foolishness. Wisdom says, God is everywhere present, and I must walk uprightly, righteously, glorifying God. God, help me to live uprightly in public and in private. every time of my life. Father, I receive the grace to live for you. And God will bless that. Amen? Praise God. Well, I warned you we're going to be going slow at all of this, but I thank God that we're able to share the Word of God together tonight. I would like for you to ask for yourself if you know that you lack wisdom. To just talk to God. He says, if anyone, one of you lacks wisdom, James chapter 1, let him ask. Let him ask. And he said, God will give you that wisdom. When I have that wisdom, I have the peace of God, I have the joy of God, I have the prosperity of God, I have the capacity to break free and break through and to live victoriously. I need the wisdom of God. If I'm struggling in any area of my life, I can assure you that it will be an issue of a lack of wisdom in that particular area. Wherever it is we're struggling, it is a lack of wisdom, of understanding, and of knowledge. And we're going to find that to be true as we continue on this path, in this book. So let's ask God for wisdom. Let's ask God for understanding. It says, in all of your getting, get understanding. In all of your getting, get wisdom. In all of your getting, get knowledge. My people perish because of the lack of knowledge. I will not perish. Amen? Because I believe in God's gift. And that gift is Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Everyone, you know, just talk to God and I'll wrap up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, go God for your wisdom. 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 I receive wisdom. I receive wisdom. The wisdom of God. The wisdom from above. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, we ask for wisdom. Your word is very specific. And if we lack wisdom, we shall ask. And you will give it. We ask for wisdom. Your wisdom. We'll receive it now. Even the wisdom from above. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for that wisdom from above that is first pure, that is peaceable, that is gentle, that is easy to be entreated, the wisdom that is full of mercy and good fruits, the wisdom that is without partiality, the wisdom that is without hypocrisy. We receive this wisdom. This fruit of righteousness that is sown in peace of them that make peace. Lord, we are peacemakers and we sow, O God, in peace and receive of this tree of life. In the mighty name of Jesus, let all that wisdom releases permeate every aspect of our lives. Lord, O God, that your name be exalted in us and through us at all times. In Jesus' mighty name, we receive this grace. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so very much for being part of the study tonight. Our studies are going to go on until the end, the last Wednesday of June, and then we're going to take a break for the summer months and restart in September. So now till last Wednesday of June. Amen? And Friday is going to be our prayer meeting, and I look forward to having you here with us, and we'll continue to pray together and stand together in the righteousness of God's word. At this time, we'll honor God with our giving. And as we honor God with our giving, may God increase us on every side. We sow for souls, and God will bless our love for what he loves. Let's honor him. Praise the Lord. And while we are releasing our special gifts, just like to remind us of a special date in July. July the 15th, we're going to have a block party, you know, where we're going to be, it's going to be a special day, a big day for us who want to minister to the people in this community. And so pray about that and find a way to engage yourself so that we are all involved in casting the net out to bring in the harvest of souls unto the Lord. And finally, mark out May the 28th. May the 28th, that's Pentecost Sunday. In the evening, we'll have a healing deliverance service. Do take note of that date. That is the last Sunday of this month. And in the morning, it's going to be regular service, Pentecost service. And in the evening, it will be a deliverance service and healing service. Okay? That's all the information that I need to share. And look forward to seeing you on Friday. God bless you richly. Amen. If Wes is around, I'll...